Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we get into a conversation about something that is quite close to many people's hearts, and that is wealth building, wealth creation, but specifically, as it pertains to the property sector, because home ownership specifically is one of the big ways in which, many generations have been able to acquire wealth, to maintain their wealth, to grow their wealth, and to also pass on their wealth to the next generation. But, as a millennial myself, I can testify that home ownership does seem as if it is, out of reach in many cases. So today we're going to be having that conversation with the team from SA Home Loans. They're probably one of the, long established players in the SA market when it comes to home financing, just around, what's going on out there. Is it us as consumers and potential homeowners that are the problem? Is it the market that's the problem? Where is the disconnect happening? So to make sense of it for us, we are joined by Sakeni Dlamini, who is Chief Operating Officer over at SA Home Loans. Sakeni, greetings to you today.
Hi, Modiwa. Thank you for inviting me and looking forward to the conversation.
Maybe a good place for us to start is addressing that point, just now. Is it us, the millennials? Is it the upcoming Gen Zs? Are we the problem? Are we just not working hard enough, to get to this home ownership level? Are we just not grinding, or is it the market that's the problem? Our property price is too expensive. Why does it seem as if, like, the generation before us had an easier time entering into the property market?
Yeah, thanks for that. I would say it's not just us. I'm also a millennial. And obviously the Gen Zs are pushing us out to be older. but Mudiwa, the reality is we've seen things becoming more and more expensive over time. So it's not just us. I think the circumstances around us have made affording property more difficult. Over time, you've seen property prices increasing a lot. So you can just imagine what you were buying in 2000 as a property and what you were paying for a 3-bedroom house then and now. You're paying a lot more now. There's also been a big increase in the cost of living. There's been food, petrol, and also some of the infrastructure costs, like, your municipal rates, taxes. So life is more expensive altogether. And I think incomes over time, especially in the past few years, incomes haven't been rising as fast as the rise on the cost side of things. So those two things are put together. It means that generally you'll find it more difficult to afford owning a property today than maybe was the case in the past.
Yeah, it is a tough situation to be in, and I think you've characterized it, quite well. We speak on this platform to a number of people in various sectors, and especially, we had the recent, budget speech. We spoke to a number of economists during that period, and also, long before that, talking about, outlooks and all that. We talked to a lot of people from various sectors, and increased costs, lower incomes, consumer pressure seem to be some of the big themes, that we keep hearing about. And I guess it makes it even more real when we can draw the line, towards how some of these big buzzwords that we keep hearing actually draw when it looks to how and where people are living, the aspect of putting a roof over your head and owning that roof, you know, over one's head. But maybe I can take a quick step back. SA Home Loans is one of those companies, one of those brands that many people have known, particularly if you have at some point been in the market to buy a home. People often compare quotes, you know, when it comes to, you know, getting finance. People are often shopping around. You can have a main bank, but chances are your mortgage or your home loan will be with another institution. So maybe you could give us some insight when we talk about SA Home Loans. What's the nature of the business at the moment? What is it that you guys do and do not do? I guess I'm trying to get a sense of what you guys actually do versus what people think you guys do. And, you know, maybe in your experience, what are you specifically looking after as COO?
There's a few questions in that. So let me deal just briefly about SA Home Loans. We were founded in 1999, so we're celebrating 25 years in business this year. SA Home Loans launched, interestingly, as the first non-bank home loan provider at the time. So in the past, you could only get a home loan if you went to one of the big banks. And with the entry of SA Home Loans, we brought a change in things, in the sense that you could go to a non-bank to apply for a home loan. In coming to the market, our promise was to bring a more affordable product to the consumer, to our clients. We launched primarily on a switch proposition, which was we were speaking to people that had existing home loans and saying, come and get a quote from us, and we might be able to lower your installment or lower your interest rate. Try us out, and you could be saving in one way or the other. And as time progressed, we then also became a key player in the purchase market, where if you're buying a house, you can come to us and get a quote to see what we can do for you in terms of the home loan financing for the property that you are buying. To date, we've done more than 300,000 home loans to the South African market, more than 170 billion rands worth of lending. And because we don't take deposits from the public, we have to access our funding from other banks and from the capital markets. We pioneered securitization in South Africa, and to date, we've issued 90 billion rands plus of those listed debt instruments into the South African market. So we do think that as someone who's listening, SA Home Loans is a player. You should definitely come talk to us and get a quote. And I guess the next question that you are asking is,
what are you looking after?
As COO, I looked after a few things. Really, it's about serving our clients better is a lot of what sits in my portfolio. So we've got a lot of the operational teams, technology processes. There's also the sales and marketing teams that we're dealing with, how we engage and assist our clients to access home finance, and also the servicing teams that engage and help you out during the life of your home loan. A lot of those teams would be teams that I support in my role as COO.
Okay, cool. I want to dig deeper into something that you said just now. when we look at trends, right, I think you already highlighted, you know, some of the barriers and some of the trends that have led, you know, at least the current generation to, you know, find it harder to access you know, financing or to access home ownership. And against that backdrop, one of the things I'm keen to understand is where we are now, right? That initial proposition that you guys had as SA Home Loans, are people still moving, you know, in that direction? And when I say moving in that direction, I mean actually moving. I have, let's say, for example, I, as Mudiwa, I've got I've got a home loan with the Blue Bank. And, you know, maybe I come to SA Home Loans and you guys are able to give me a better quote. And then, you know, help, you know, to make the move and all of that stuff. It's two curiosities on my side. Firstly, are people actually making those moves? And I ask that because in an interest rate environment like the one that we're in right now, when you talk to financial planners, one of the things that they always stress about is go out and have conversations with your bankers, you know, about how much you're paying or not paying. And it sometimes feels like people don't even know that they can have those conversations with their own banks, let alone, you know, being able to switch your home loan provider. So I guess it's an education piece to say, is the consumer aware, you know, of some of these options, and are they making use, you know, of those types of facilities?
Yeah. So Mudiwa, in terms of switching, it is happening. It is not happening as much as we think it should be happening. So we have seen over the past 2 years an increase in that activity as interest rates have been rising. I think more and more people are looking at their budgets and saying, how could I consolidate or restructure my finances so that my overall repayments are affordable? So it is happening. It is not as big a space as the purchase market in South Africa. In some of the international jurisdictions like your US, it is quite a big market depending on where interest rates are at. I guess if you're sitting in South Africa, the reasons to do it, really would fall into three categories. It really comes down to, the first one is whether you can make some type of savings. So your home loan is usually the cheapest debt that you have on your balance sheet, because it's secure debt and it's also long-term, it's long-term finance. So you've got a low interest rate and your repayment is being spread out over a long period of time. Therefore, your monthly repayments are lower compared to, call it, car finance or an unsecured loan, assuming the same amount is advanced. So let's say as a scenario, I'm a person who has maybe a vehicle finance. There's maybe the balloon payment is coming up, and there's maybe a credit card. I've got a home loan. We can have a look at that and say, is the equity in the property? And we can actually consolidate the other debts under one portfolio that's secured by your house. What that does is that it reduces your home loan repayments. And also puts all of your debt under the cheaper financing package of the home loan. So that would be the one set. The second set would really be about improvements to the home. We see a lot of people, when you buy the house, you've got plans that in time I want to do, you know, add the following, improve the kitchen, add a garage or a bedroom. So after running your home loan for a couple of years, you are then able to come and say, maybe if you approach your home loan provider to say, I want more funds out of my home loan, or you go to an SA Home Loans to say, if I switched over to you guys, how much cash out would I be able to get? Because I want to do these things that are related to improving the asset that I own, being my house. And I would say the third bucket would be where you are now using that home loan cash out for other non-home related spend. You know, for example, you're now wanting to access funds because your child is going to university and maybe you want to set them up in terms of accommodation or tuition. Or you've decided that actually you'd rather take cash out of your bond and buy a car as opposed to do it, buy a car secondhand instead of buying a brand new car. So all of those are valid. We find they'll fall into these different needs, is really what drives the switch activity. And it is important that it is led by a need and also a discipline that then says, whenever I take out a home loan, I must do my best to try settle it before the 20-year mark or 25 or 30-year mark if it's a 30-year loan. So the idea is if you're saving repayments on other debts, it's a good idea to pay more towards your home loan so that, you know, you can pay it off sooner than the 20-year term that's on the document. There's no penalty for that. We encourage it. And that's when your wealth creation really starts, because you then are in a position where you've got an asset that has a lot of equity that's built up there, which you can either use to improve your finances overall or save it as wealth creation for your family.
Yeah, it is quite a fascinating, you know, trend to see. And I think with the way that you've just described it now, I like the way that you are characterizing it, because I think it makes it quite practical, you know, to the ordinary person, you know, just to hear the different ways and the different considerations that are that people are thinking about when they make these decisions, because money is very personal, right? We spend about a third of every day at work, you know, trying to put money in our pockets so that we can do these things, building wealth, you know, that type of thing. So if there's ways where, you know, for example, you can help to consolidate you know, some of your different debts, if there's ways that you know, your overall repayments can be cheaper, you know, if there's ways that, you know, a person can use, you know, equity in one asset to then go on to, you know, build even more wealth, then it makes sense to be in all of those different what do you call this? It makes sense for people to be in the market from that point of view. But you mentioned just now that the switching activity isn't where you guys think it should be, that there's probably more activity right now, you know, on the purchase side of things. So on the purchase side of things, what are you guys seeing? And is there any other part of the business, or is it mainly the purchase side and the switching, you know, that you guys are active in?
Yes, on the purchase side, it's a very sensitive side to interest rates. So what we've seen over the past 18 months with interest rates increasing is that we have seen a slowdown in purchase activity in South Africa. You know, the purchase activity is down over 20% in the past year in terms of the number or value of homes changing hands. As SA Home Loans, our role in that is a lender. So you come to us and we will give you a home loan. One of the misconceptions is that when you come to SA Home Loans, we will be an originator, a bond originator that then takes your home loan to be financed by the other banks. We are a lender that competes with the other banks. So that's the one area of misconception that sometimes we do come across. And in saying that, the purchase activity is still quite much bigger than switch. Yes, it's down about 25% in the past year. The slowdown is interest rates. And as I said earlier, cost of living pressures that restricts your affordability. So that when you're coming forward to apply for a home loan, it's more difficult to qualify. We think this year there's reason to be positive, because as we hit around the mid-year mark, so second half of the year, we think more and more people will be confident that interest rates are stable and maybe starting to go down, that the elections are past us, and maybe even some of the global issues around some of the wars, hopefully there's some resolution that then starts feeding a positive sentiment Because what we tend to see is when we're worried about the future as people, we will delay making a big decision like buying a home. It makes sense, right? So as some of these things become more settled, we think a lot more people will be more confident about buying properties again.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are hoping. I think we're all hoping and crossing fingers that interest rates do, plateau this year. We really are hoping for that. I think the outlook in 2023, exactly a year ago, many had hoped that 2023 would see the top of the hiking cycle. But well, here we are in 2024. Hoping for the same things. And like you said, there are a lot of different factors, both local and especially international, that are feeding into that interest rate case, particularly, what happens, with the US, Fed, with global supply chains, the wars, all of that stuff. We just hope for an overall better year, albeit it's probably a year that has lots of elections around the world, and that's going to probably feed into sentiment, in a big way. Curious then, to understand, Zakeni, when a person is getting into the market today, especially given the fluctuating interest rates, is it true? This is where you can help us to dispel some of the myths that we hear out there. Is it true that a person can negotiate for a fixed interest rate? Maybe not for the full term, maybe not for the full 20 or 30 years, but for a certain blocks of time. Is that something that's possible?
Yes, and before I answer that question directly, I just want to confess that I was also guilty of hoping that we'd seen the worst of interest rates at the start of 2023. And how wrong were we? So yes, you can fix your interest rate. What's available in the South African market from some of the home loan providers would be a 5-year fix. Sometimes there's a cap product that says, you buy this product and it caps your interest rate that it can't go up by more than 1 or 2%. There are fixed rate products that will say your interest rate is fixed for the next 5 years. And then after that, it reverts to a variable home loan. We always have to be careful about giving advice, I guess, but I would say what you must just be on the lookout for is that the fixed rate is usually a higher interest rate than a variable rate, because your home loan provider is taking some risk in predicting that they've got to cover off what they need to cover in terms of their own funding cost profile. So when you offer the variable rate and the fixed rate side by side, the fixed rate is going to be higher. And if you are fixing at the top of the rate hiking cycle, you run the danger of locking in a higher rate for 5 years. So you just imagine if someone took a 5-year fixed product 18 months ago when the interest rates were at their lowest, that person is going to do very well over the next 5 years. The person who takes a 5-year fixed rate product today might not do so well over 5 years, because we expect the rates to start coming down from the second half of this year. So it's a good product that's out there. You just have to be mindful of where the interest rate cycle is at before you make that decision where to fix or not to fix. There are also, Mudiwa, some products that focus on the installment. Sometimes when you're buying a house, those first 2 or 3 years are very difficult in terms of some of your cost pressures. So there are products also that then look to ease the installment requirement in the first 3 to 5 years, either stepping up over that period, or it's an interest only over that period, and then eventually getting into a a full installment that amortizes the loan over the rest of the 20-year period. So there will be some options available to ease, I guess, the strain on affordability for people. Even taking a longer term can also ease that strain. So if you take a 20-year product versus a 30-year product, so the 20-year home loan versus 30-year home loan, the 30-year home loan is going to be a lower installment. As I said earlier, the discipline with that is as soon as you can afford to pay more towards your home loan, do that so that you don't end up with a home loan for the full 30 years. You want to pay more towards your home loan so that hopefully by, you know, 15 years, hopefully your home loan is settled. So yes, there's a few options, and it's important for all of us to do our research as we are about to commit to that purchase.
Yeah, most certainly. And the research part is probably where a lot of stumbling blocks are probably found. And I say that as an outsider, you probably have way more data around this than me, but you sort of get the sense that for those in the market, there's some intimidation that people feel about the barrage of information that a person has to wrap their heads around, the various products that are out there, understanding the interest rates, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, you know, fixed term variable rates, all of these things that a person now has to, I guess, contend with. And I guess it's why it's good to engage, you know, with providers such as yourselves, you know, and actually get a grip of what else is going on. But, you know, when it comes to the barriers to get into the housing market, where we began the conversation, you know, earlier on, Sakeni, maybe you could give us some insight right now into, the education piece once again, because I think that's the other thing that we're trying to do, with a conversation like this. Today in 2024, when a person is applying for a home loan or financing of some sort, what's going into the matrix, you know, of scoring a particular candidate? And I ask that because I think sometimes there are misconceptions around, you know, what actually counts and doesn't count. I've heard, for example, some people say, no, you must have a credit. Before you go get a home loan, you must go out and have a credit card, you know, so that you can build up a credit score. Some people say, actually, you must have, you know, a vehicle, you know, at least go have a vehicle and have paid off a car so that you can show the bank or the provider that you can do it. Go out and have a clothing account or something so that you can build up a record. Whereas others will just be like, hey, guys, as long as you are above the affordability and you're making enough, then they should be able to extend the credit to you. So I guess trying to dispel some of those things, you know, for us.
Yeah, thanks, Mudiwa. Can I, with your permission, let me start with just the daunting nature of the journey to getting into home ownership. I do want to agree with you there that unfortunately, as an industry, we're guilty of pushing our own cause. You know, if you're talking to an originator or talking to an estate agent or talking to a home loan provider, everyone's talking about their own proposition and best pitching for themselves. I don't have a good answer for holistically in terms of industry. What we do try to do at SA Home Loans is we do have tools. We've actually got a great freely available home buyer's guide that can be downloaded from our website. And it talks about the various components of the journey, from how you approach the considerations for where to buy, all the way to after your home loan is registered, some of the things that you need to be thinking about in terms of looking after your property, etc. So it talks about it as a full end-to-end journey. I would encourage those that are thinking about and preparing for home ownership. It's on our website, www.sahomeloans.com. You can download that and run through it. We do also offer our consultants when you let's say you are getting ready to buy and you want to talk to a consultant, see whether what your affordability profile looks like. You can contact our call center or you can go through our website. We've got a digital app application process that's there. It can then, through that process, you can work out where you stand in terms of affordability. So we do try to provide that support. But I am aware that there is a need for education in general in terms of the property sector. So getting to the barriers, I think the first one, as you've said, is really understanding more about how it works. I would also say it's also important to know your rights as a buyer or as a consumer in the space. You know, sometimes I've come across things like someone has signed an offer to purchase, but the agent is not giving it to them. A copy of a document that they've signed because they're trying to control some of the processes around applying for finance, etc. So we are empowered as people. There's a Consumer Protection Act, there's a National Credit Act, and there are regulators, and there's a Property Practitioners Regulatory Authority, the former Estate Agents Affairs Board. There are pieces of regulation and also sector bodies that protect us as consumers and also to ensure that the various players in the industry are behaving responsibly. So there is that. I think in terms of legislation, we are looked after, but it's not something that's well known. So it's all available online. You can do that research. Then it comes to the next one is really around affordability. And affordability then has these two arms. It's how much can I afford to pay and how much finance can I qualify for? And really on the how much can I afford to repay? It is governed by our National Credit Act. So lenders are not allowed to give you finance if you can't afford. If the installment that we are saying you need to pay cannot solve from your current financial position, we are not allowed to do that. So it's important that when you start the process, you do your own budget and see what your income versus your expenses look like and whether there's enough room for the installment that is required to repay a home loan. The second arm of affordability is your credit standing. As you've said, the moment we talk credit, your credit score comes into the picture. And there's a lot of stories around what goes into the credit score. I don't know all the line items myself in terms of what goes into that credit score. Your credit bureaus run these scoring models that they use a lot of data in terms of how we behave as people. And the scores predict how well a person will be able to manage their affairs. To get a home loan, yes, you do need to have a credit score. So because we're saying you need to have a credit score, it does mean that you need to have some type of credit or cell phone account or you know, the clothing store account or a credit card. Make sure that it's something small, something that you are managing well. That's all that's required. So that you are just in the picture in terms of, the credit bureaus and their scoring methodologies. The other important thing is to save up, try to save up ahead of that time. Because what we often see is that, you approach the buying of a house. And you say, I'm going to get 100% home loan. Yes, there are 100% home loans available, and some home loans can even go above that. But you always need to have some cash to pay for some of the costs that come with it, you know, like there'll be maybe attorney costs that you need to pay, excuse me, in cash. There'll be a few incidentals that you still need to pay in cash. Now, the bigger the deposit that you save up, the easier it is for you to qualify for finance, because it lowers your installment requirement. And often it also lowers your credit score requirement, because you've now proved that you are capable of saving up towards this financial goal of yours. So that my advice would really be, it's use the tools available online to do that research. You prepare yourself by making sure that you've done your budget and you are making sure that you are managing your expenses within what you earn as an income, and you're creating room for the installment that you need to service. And then whatever accounts you have is the third thing, to make sure that you've got a very good credit score. Whatever accounts that you have, manage them well, pay them on time. And when I say on time, if it's due on the first, you're paying by the first. Because if you pay after the first, depending on how that provider reports, you could come across as in arrears. So if possible, put in place debit orders, so that you avoid forgetting to pay in time and it impacts your credit score. So for that scoring part, keep your debt managed to a low amount and serviced very well, and you'll do just fine in terms of how your credit score comes out.
All right. So that's where we, end off what has been a really educational discussion with Zakenia around the state of home loans in South Africa, some of the barriers that have kept many people out of the market, issues around interest rates, rising costs of living, the fact that, the market seems to be in a little bit of disarray, especially when you think about where interest rates are now, compared to just a few years ago. And, we talk about 475 basis points increase in total when it comes to interest rates. But when you're paying back a home loan, especially if you have something that's sizable, that increase, can translate to quite a few more, rands that you have to pay. So all of those factors, are affecting existing homeowners, but they are affecting a lot of people from entering into the market. A couple of things that, Zakenia was, emphasizing for us is the fact that, right now it's good for people to go out and, educate themselves, engage with the professional, around what's going on. Get in touch, with some of these companies, a financial planner, whatever it is, just to see where you are, in the market. It's good to have that, that credit record. It's good to build up, that score, but also good to build up deposits, to make sure that when you're being considered, it can be a little bit easier. Also, we spoke quite a bit about some of the outlook. And perhaps I'll just throw back, that as a question to Zakenia before we let him go, to say, when it comes to the outlook for 2024, he did mention on about two or three occasions the fact that this is the year in which we are expecting interest rates to plateau. And he also said that they're expecting that we're going to have a little bit more purchasing activity because of that. That is the expectation from about the midpoint of 2024. Anything else to add in terms of your outlook for 2024 and where the market is going, Zakenia?
Yeah, thanks, Modiwa. You've covered it well. I think from my side, the outlook is only positive because we are at the peak of the interest rate cycle, and for anyone who's considering their next step when it comes to home ownership or getting the most out of their home loan, we do really believe that we're at the peak of the rate hiking cycle. I guess my advice is to not take your eye off the market altogether. Do the work that's necessary to prepare, research, be on the lookout for the opportunities. You might come across that property at the right price in an environment like this. And if you've managed your finances well, and you can afford, there's no need to wait until the second half of the year. So it's important to keep your eye on the market. But if you're wondering whether the challenges in the market are going to last forever, my outlook is no, they will not. We think from about the halfway mark of this year, conditions should improve, and we should see it being a bit easier to afford a property, and hopefully empowers more people to get onto the property ownership ladder.
All right. So that's where we end off. We were in conversation with Zakeni Dlamini. He is the Chief Operating Officer at SA Home Loans. Zakeni, thank you so much for being with us today.
Much appreciated.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.